Most of all, like, do you want to win? I think that's a reasonable question for somebody to ask him at this point, because what have the Nationals, in terms of their budget and their payroll, shown fans over the last 5 years, other than, I'm not going to say a disinclination to go out and win, but sorry, when you're a team in Washington, D.C., and your highest paid player is retired, and your second highest paid player is a Toronto Blue Jay, what are you trying to do here?
I mean, those are bars from Jeff Passan. Your highest paid player is retired, and your second highest paid player is a Blue Jay. We got no food. We got no jobs. Our pets'
Heads
are
falling off.
But at least we got to see the boys get kicked around by the Red Sox all weekend. And a kid from Marshall High School got the nod on Sunday afternoon. Oh, wait, that was Shin Ogasawara. I'm throwing 88 miles an hour. My apologies. 21 runs in the first two games of that series given up against Boston. Swept, outscored 27-9. The Nats 9-25 since the start of June. They have fired Davey Martinez and Mike Rizzo. Just had Jeff Passan on. Your biggest takeaway?
The sort of, again, any conversation about Davey and Mike Rizzo, it's all fair. But you can't go more than 2 seconds without going, and by the way, what's up with ownership? You know what I mean? Like any discussion where you're calling balls and strikes, forgive the pun, about baseball, and hey, this is disappointing. You didn't draft well, and that's, but what about ownership? What about those guys when you don't have any payroll? And yeah, like let's say you'd made the best possible decision with the $1 million you're spending on Colin Pochet or the $3 million on Jorge Lopez or the whatever it was, $5 million, $6 million on Lucas Sims. Let's say you'd gotten out of the park home runs with those dudes. Still not a playoff ball club, still not a good team, you're still down in the dregs. It's rearranging deck chairs. You want to hold someone responsible for not getting those calls right, totally fine. You should have drafted someone else 7 years ago, totally fine. None of it matters unless you're doing what you're supposed to do in the C-suite. And I think that's the takeaway. That's always kind of the anchor part of the conversation to me, is it always sort of returns to that like a magnet.
I was sent this Brooksgate tweet from March by a listener, and I don't know how they tabulate all of this and if it's gospel, but it's interesting enough to pass along. How much revenue each team generated last year coming in, and how much of that is going toward their payroll this year? And this was going into opening day this season. And the Nats ranked in the bottom eight or so in baseball in this regard. They generated $325 million, the same as, say, the Cincinnati Reds, and they put about the same amount to the payroll. 42.3% of payroll of the revenue, essentially, is what they turned around and spent. So, like, the Mets, as an example, their revenue coming in was $444 million, and their 2025 payroll and tax, $400 million, 90% ratio for them. For the Nationals, it's 42%. You've got teams that are worse, like Miami and the White Sox and the Pirates. In fact, the Cubs are really the only legitimate bigger market contender that has a lower ratio than the Nationals do. Otherwise, it's from really small market teams like Milwaukee and the Tampa Bay Rays. Let's go to Steve, who's been waiting in Bethesda. Steve, for the first time since my senior year of high school, we're talking about the Nats, and Mike Rizzo is not one of their top executives.
From Bethesda!
Are you there? You will get nothing.
Oh, man.
And you will like it. Let's go to Dickie in Arlington. Dickie, we are on an 18-year run here with Mike Rizzo as the head of Nationals baseball and the baseball outfit. It's over. What do you make of it?
Well, the job's not finished. Simply, we need to treat the learners like their last name, Snyder. You need to boycott the ballpark that has, by the way, the most expensive beer in baseball. James Wood, at this rate, is going to be playing for the Phillies in 5 years, and the Nationals might be playing in Nashville. So if we don't boycott the learners and they don't sell, this is all just going to be a merry-go-round, Grant.
Well, here's the problem. If you do boycott, then there's a better chance they're playing in Nashville and James Wood's in Philly.
Yeah, but at this point, I mean, what have they shown you that they're going to re-sign these guys? I mean, I'm watching Juan Soto come up to the plate in a Mets jersey. Trey Turner's up in Philly playing with his buddy Bryce. I mean, those are guys that I thought I would, you know, they would be retiring in Nationals jerseys.
So it's a good phone call. Thank you.
I mean, listen, there are some guys where you go, for a lot of organizations, you go, it's probably actually smart that you didn't give them the 15-year, $2 trillion deal. Like, I don't know that would have been a smart move for the Nationals to meet Soto's asking price, right? He could be a star for you on a last-place team. That's a huge commitment, and only a handful of teams are going to do it. And most of the time what happens in these big mega free agent deals is the last however many years, you don't live up to the billing, and you're kind of left with that albatross of a contract. So it's not every time that it's a bad move, but one of the guys, one Trey Turner, one dude that's not Steven Strasburg who will never pitch again. You know what I mean? I understand that pathology from the fan. When you're talking about a franchise that hasn't been able to demonstrate to you that they even care about the things that you're supposed to care about, how do you have any kind of confidence? How do you have any kind of faith that now's the sign? And Barry pointed this out in his column, and it's the first thought that I had. Is this, my answer is probably not, by the way, but this is my only hope. Is this a fledgling spark for re-engagement from the ownership group? Will they actually do ownership stuff? Will they be available? Will they be accountable? Will they try, to, even if you're doing it on a bare-bones budget, do that. Go all in on that. Do something besides nothing for a long time and then be exasperated that the results aren't very good.
800-636-1067 if you want to hop in. The only thing I would say to the James Wood is not going to be here because of the Lerner's point is that if James Wood's not here, it has more to do with Scott Boras than the Lerner's, in my opinion. There was no amount of money you could have paid Juan Soto to keep him from free agency. It's not like they didn't make a really damn good offer. Now, I can also, in the same side of, you know, maybe it's a different side of my mouth, but in the same sentence, say they didn't offer anything close to what he would have needed to get serious. But in a world where, yes, the player theoretically works for the agent, you hire Scott Boras because you want to get paid the most money. There's a lot of good agents in baseball that are willing to do deals with guys ahead of free agency. And Scott Boras will even have some of his players occasionally sign deals ahead of free agency, specifically pitchers who have potential arm problems like Steven Strasburg or possibly, you know, other free agents. But when Juan Soto can reinvent the industry financially, when he can absolutely change a generation's worth of what players are valued at, Scott Boras is taking him to market. James Wood is going to be the same way. I said this on my reaction show I was doing live for a couple hours on The Fan yesterday. If you want to listen to any of that, it's available on the new Bustin' Loose Baseball podcast. But I brought up that I remember one time bumping into Boras at a ballpark or something and just saying, man, this Juan Soto kid. And he's like, he's a centurion. And his point was he is a once-in-a-century player. This is not a generational player. His line that he used with teams, I'm sure, because he used it with me, was this is a once-in-a-century player. Mm-hmm. And James Wood is that dude, too. That is how he's going to market James Wood. So when James Wood goes to free agency, and he will go to free agency, I would imagine, it's not going to be because the Lerner's are cheap. The reason that Nathan Lowe's your highest-paid player is because of that. The reason you didn't sign Nathan Walker was a Capital. Christian Walker at first base is because of that. The reason you didn't go get the 25 home run power bat in the outfield is because of that. The reason you're not going to sign James Wood is because James Wood and Scott Boras are going to break records in free agency. Is there a very small chance, glimmer of hope, man do I pray, that James Wood, a D.C. kid who went to St. John's College High School, who's from Olney, Maryland, says to Scott Boras, this is where I want to be. I want to be here forever. Let's sign with the Nats. I suppose so. And then you work for him and you try to talk him out of it for an extended period of time, and eventually you get the deal done with the Nats for the most money possible. I guess in a fairy tale, that is a possibility. But I don't think you go with Scott Boras as an agent if that's the game you want to play.
Right.
And so, he's going to play somewhere else, I bet, in several years. It shouldn't, in my opinion, change your fandom now. That is less the problem, in my opinion, than 800 other things that they have done incorrectly. They got James Wood. They're going to have him for the early part of his career. He could win multiple MVP awards here if you surround him with some damn talent. The issue isn't that he might walk years from now. It's a frustration and an annoyance, and I understand that. But trust me when I tell you, him going out to San Diego and playing in front of 42,000 and then Dodger Stadium in front of 46,000 and coming back and playing in front of 8,000 at Nats Park who are booing him.
It'll open your eyes.
Doesn't make him want to sign here that much either. You know, finishing ninth in All-Star Game fan validating doesn't make him want to sign that much here either, probably also. Now, This is not me blaming you. It's a vicious cycle. I know where we are and how we got here, and that you guys are the victims in the process, if you want to say that. But it is also a reality. So when you say, let's boycott, we're not going to have James Wood, let's not go, let's turn our backs on the team. Meanwhile, James Wood's one of the great young stars in the game, and nobody's voting for him to go to the All-Star game or sitting in the crowd wearing his jersey. You're right. He's going to be on the first plane out of here. Why the hell wouldn't he be? He's about to go play in front of a mediocre Cardinals team where they're packing the joint and everybody's singing some wacky Cardinals song in the fourth inning tonight, tomorrow. It's just a different thing. Let's go to Barbara in Manassas. What's up, Barbara?
Barbara.
Okay, guys, let's pick it up.
Here we go.
We can do this.
Here we go.
Right?
Little slump.
A good show.
Little slump.
This is the part where we let you guys take ownership of the program for a few minutes on the phones. Let's try not to ruin it. Let's go to JR in Boston. Hey, JR, how are you?
Oh, living the dream, fellas.
There you go. You know about sports talk radio in
Boston.
From Boston. You know how to do it.
Exactly.
On the Odyssey app.
So, now, I fully admit, like, I'm not a huge, like, Nats fan because I grew up in the 80s and 90s and they didn't exist when I was living there. But the problem you're having with ownership, which this is literally, I would say, 99% on ownership, is just like the ownership up here where they pretend to do things and then don't. I mean, we just traded away, they traded away Devers for next to nothing. But the biggest problem that you guys haven't a chance to even talk about yet is the fact that the manager they have now was like the 10th person they asked. So if ownership doesn't get their crap together, they're going to have a tough time finding the guy they want because everyone's going to be like, why would I come there if you're not going to spend money? And then the ownership is going to make the next manager look bad.
Well, don't mistake this. I am worried about these searches. Passan just came on. He named one possible executive he would go after, and it's the right name, Eric Neander, runs the Rays, and there's some feeling around baseball that because they're going through an ownership change and a ballpark fiasco at this point, that maybe he could be had at the right price. Number one, I don't think they would spend what it would take. But number two, I don't know that he or any legitimate star executive or manager would want to come work here right now. And that is one of my greatest fears. I always just say that with the Redskins, though, and then they would get the guy. I do think money talks
money
to an
fixes
extent,
it. Yeah,
but they have to pay.
Well, the money part and the promise of power, right? Anybody knows how to turn on any of these billionaires know how to turn on the charm. Dan Snyder certainly did. Where I would never work for that kind of guy. Marty Schottenheimer turns on and works for him because Dan Snyder poured honey potion, said this number $1 million, this amount of authority, this amount of buck stops with you. Oh, great! I get all the power and my will be done. That's appealing to folks. Now, whether they follow through with that, TBD.
Money talks. Does not that much money talk? That's the problem.
Yeah,
you know,
just below market value talking.
Ryan and I were yelling about this before the show, right? Ryan's excited, as well he should be. It's an opportunity to do it right. It's an opportunity to try something else and get a fresh start. I am way more worried about it getting worse than I am excited about it getting better. I think I'm in the minority on that. But my point is, can you do a lot better than Mike Rizzo and what they've been as a front office in 2025, the year of our Lord? Of course you can. You could go young and fresh and analytical and data-driven, and you could be Cleveland or you could be Tampa Bay or something. That would be awesome. I also know you could do a lot worse. And I know that you're pulling an 18-wheeler trying to run this thing. So, yeah, I'm nervous. But that is a reality. What does this search look like? Are they going to spend? I think it's going to tell us everything, by the way.
Yeah.
About the future of this ownership.
Because that's the question, right? What is this ownership? If they go back to doing what they were doing, then this is all literally rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. If this is actually the beginning of re-engagement, this is the beginning of we need to take an authoritative, assertive role, good or bad, but be involved, then some good can come out of it. Right? If you re-engage, I mean, the way things are now, I think it's worse than people know. It's in terms of how chaotic and how dysfunctional all this stuff is, right? A lot of good people are not there anymore. A lot of good people are jumping ship for a good reason. It's chaos.
I mean, and that's non-baseball you're talking about.
Yeah, everywhere. Yeah. I mean,
people cannot wait to get out in some cases.